Pickaxe.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Triforce Podcast.
Hello.
Featuring Lewis Brindley.
Hi.
From the Yogscast. Also, Pyrian Flax.
Of his house.
From the Yogscast.
Yeah.
And.
Hello.
Your host, Sips.
Host.
King of the North.
What?
Of the Yogg's cast.
You're not king of the North.
What's up?
My house will not bow down to you. You
listen.
Lannister gold, you piece of shit.
I was disappointed to hear that people were disappointed with the latest season of Game of Thrones, because I thought it was excellent. I thought it was pretty good. Like, a lot of people have gripes about it, apparently.
I have gripes about it. I don't want to be one of those guys, but I do have gripes about it.
It's too late. You're that guy now. You've got gripes. I mean,
we don't
want to spoil it, because it's still, like, pretty fresh and stuff.
It's still Game of Thrones, right? It's still Game of Thrones. I'm never going to complain about a show like Game of Thrones too much. But if you think about the great seasons that there have been, that had some great moments and stuff. But what made Game of Thrones great was that they didn't squeeze all the cool stuff into as few episodes as that.
Yeah.
Like, I think that was one issue. There was less character. And, like, if you think about the episode, think about the series where Arya and the Hound were just making their way and how many seasons that took and all the people they met and the interesting interactions and the conversations they had, and you got to know the characters and all that.
Yeah.
And then when he has that fight with Brienne of Tarth, there's like a lot on the line. And, you know, that's a whole season's worth of travel for those two characters to come to that moment.
Yeah.
And, there's a lot on the line. Whereas in this one, it was like, right, in one episode, we have to go and march north to find the army. And then one of you's going to run back, and then we're going to send a raven to the other end of the country, and then they're going to fly back on a dragon. It's just like, it's a bit much. They squeezed it all in, and I felt like in doing that, they lost a bit of the flavor. It was exciting, and I enjoyed it. It was not what a normal Game of Thrones series was like. Too much squeezed into too little time. That's
I feel like
my
there's
beef.
Two things at play here, though, and I think part of it is the series is winding down. Like, next season is the last, so they have to skip some of the stuff to get to, like, the conclusion sort of thing, right? Like, they sort of do have to squeeze it all in, because it runs the risk of just running on too long. It'll get too long in the tooth sort of thing.
I think everyone has had this chat with everyone they know. Anyone who has watched Game of Thrones has had this exact chat we're having, and we can chat about it for the next hour, and I refuse to have it again. I'm putting a foot right in this conversation, right in the mouth of this conversation, and saying, I don't want to hear about fucking Game of Thrones. I'm sick of it.
I hope you have a really good fucking topic to discuss following this. And
I'm
going to wager that you don't.
Prepared.
You're going to just talk about dicks and
balls
for the next hour.
All right, here's a question. Like, I was just thinking when we were talking about being north and south and stuff, right? No, I think, like, you who's further north right now? Is it me or you, P-Flax? Right, I just looked this up on Google Maps while you were chatting.
I think it's me.
It is you, fractionally, only fractionally, right? Like, so, for example, which is further west, though, Bristol or Edinburgh?
Well, that's a good one. Let me think about the shape of the country.
It's difficult, isn't it? Because
I would have said Bristol, but I'm sure it's Edinburgh.
It is Edinburgh, right. Obviously. Yeah, like stuff like this, there's a lot of things like that are weird, aren't there? That, for example, like, I think the east coast of America, if you go directly south, you go into, like, the Pacific. You just cut off. You don't even. It doesn't go through Brazil. Do you know what I mean? It just goes into, like,
you mean the Atlantic?
No. Well, you go to the Atlantic first, then you go through, like, the bay, and then you go...
I don't think you ever get to the Pacific from the east coast of America, sorry.
What, by going directly south?
Yeah.
I think you do, though. I think that's one of those things about
maps. So you're telling
me
if I'm in New York,
right,
and I head due south, I'm going to hit the Pacific before I hit Brazil?
Well, I think so, yeah.
How do I get to the Pacific without going around Brazil and Argentina?
I don't think you hit Brazil, because if you go directly south from New York, you go through Cuba, through Colombia, and then, like, out into the Pacific. You don't actually hit Brazil.
I don't even think you hit Colombia directly south from New York.
Is that the Pacific, though, is my question to you? Is that the Pacific on the east coast of Brazil? Brazil.
On the West Coast. You don't.
You said East.
You go from the East Coast of America.
I'm listening. Yeah. I'm listening.
From New York.
Did we really stop talking about Game of Thrones
yes,
for this?
Yes, we did. Okay. Yes, we did.
All
right. Right? I'm just. So you're in New York, right? You're
I just want to say I was right.
Like,
you go directly south.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm going to hit.
And then you go Cuba.
Cuba, Dominican Republic, the Caribbean Sea, Colombia.
Yeah.
How am I going to get to the Pacific?
Keep going south.
Oh, you mean if in a like, all right? I mean, I've hit the coast at this point.
Well, I mean, you could like go along land
now. I'm beached, so now I'm on land. I see. So I'm getting out of the boat. I'm portaging through Colombia.
Yeah.
Through Peru, a lot of portage, probably the greatest portage in history.
It's a long portage.
And then I'm out. I'm out in the South Pacific. Yeah, you're right.
That's right. Yeah, so you never hit Brazil.
All I'm saying is, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you don't hit Brazil. Brazil's much
but
further.
But like when you think about it as a geography thing, it's like you don't think that Edinburgh is west of Bristol, right? You
true.
Just think it's kind of up there, maybe east quite a lot. You think it's so. And the same thing with the you know, North America and South America. You think they're above each other, right? But they're not. You know, even New York, which is pretty far east, is never going to hit Brazil. And Brazil fucking sticks out into the whole country.
Here's another one for you, Lewis. If you took, Norway, took the very southern tip of Norway, and you took the very top northern part of Norway and tipped it up, like, say, you're pivoting on the southern point of Norway, and then drop Norway down again, northern Norway would be in Tunisia.
Wow. Wow, that's really far. So Norway's massive.
It is.
The size
but equally, Europe just ain't that big.
Okay.
It's pretty tiny. Europe is small. It's a small place. I mean, you can fly from the United Kingdom pretty much anywhere in Europe in like 2 hours. No problem.
Yeah.
You could probably fly across Texas would probably take an hour.
I mean,
that's how big Texas is. You could fit three suns inside Texas. If you took the sun, three of them would fit inside Texas. How about that?
What are you talking about? That doesn't make any sense
You could fit
at all.
17 Jupiters inside... the Rockefeller Plaza in New York. That's how big America is. It's that big.
It's massive.
Jeez,
that sounds
that's a
amazing.
Really big country.
Yeah.
What is the wettest city in the UK? PFLEX.
Whichever one I'm in, because all the ladies are dripping wet. Wherever I go, I bring the wet.
That's nice. I like that.
It's Glasgow.
Oh,
it's Glasgow.
The Tartanians of Glasgow struggling with the rain.
How big, many acres does, you know, Spaghetti Junction?
Yeah. Where? What is that?
How many?
I've heard of it, but what is it specifically?
It's the huge, huge road junction near Birmingham, wherever, where the big motorways
right.
cross.
Yes.
It's like the massive one. It's very famous.
Yeah.
How many acres does it cover?
50.
Oh, it's close. That's 30.
Oh, that's quite close.
I'm giving you England geography quizzes.
All right.
Gosh.
This is what we've resorted to. I know. What's Britain's most easterly town, PFLEX?
Oh, Britain's?
Most easterly. Britain's most easterly town.
Is it Hugh Town?
What's that?
It's an island. Or is it Old Grimsby? It's on the Isle of Scilly.
The Isle of Scilly is west, for a start. I said
you
east.
Said east. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm looking west. East.
We're getting confused.
Is it Lowestoft?
It is. You've got Google Maps up now, and you're, like, panning around.
You have. That's just evening it up. All right, here's an interesting thing, okay? First of all, this is a two-parter. Number one, having played so much Hearts of Iron, I can't look at a map of the world anymore without thinking, that's going to be hell to invade. Like, when you said Brazil, I was thinking, oh, you have to wade through all those jungles, and I'm trying to identify where the sort of points that you would capture would be in Hearts of Iron. But second
right,
of all,
in order to make them capitulate.
Exactly.
You've become some sort of strange World War II era general.
I have. I'm just stuck
poring
there.
Over a map and with a cigar and a little sort of tumbler of whiskey.
Terrible. It's terrible.
Saying, oh, no.
No, we should make the landing at Ostend. Much better. Planes. Dunkirk. Anyway, I was in Bruges a few years back, which is a beautiful city in Belgium. And it used to be like the hub port of Europe. For a good reason. You've got the UK right there. You've got the Netherlands right there. Obviously, Scandinavia, you know, they're coming around as well. So it's like a huge, huge port. And the whole port silted up. So it didn't work anymore. Like, you couldn't fucking get anywhere. And the town, as a result, has sort of frozen in time. When you go there, there's a lot of very old medieval buildings and not much development has taken place there. And now it's like a tourist town, whereas it used to be like this hub of business.
Mm.
And I'm thinking, what city in the world could that happen to in the modern day where that big one change, one simple change, the harbor silted up, something like that, that resulted in that that domino effect. So what city do we think that's a major city now? Something could change that would change it and no one would care about it anymore.
Well, shipping has changed dramatically, though, because of the scale of things. You know, it used to be a lot of small ships that required a lot of people to get all their carts and go down and grab it. And so you needed a big population center of men there on hand to offload and load the ships quickly.
Right.
Whereas now, because it's all done by machines, all of the shipping has been taken around the corner.
Yep.
And so, like, for example, there's these ports in Bristol around the corner where you can see all the massive ships offloading tons and tons and tons of shit.
Yep.
And you've never heard the names of these places. You don't know what they are. And the world has completely shifted.
Right.
So I don't know.
Right, but that assumes that we're talking about shipping again. Right. So think of cities now that are the equivalent, the modern equivalent to Bruges.
Right.
Like, what is the modern equivalent to that? Would probably be finance.
Right.
Would be one, right? So
like
what would change?
London,
like, for instance, London at the moment is this huge financial capital of Europe. I don't want to get into politics. Let's just say post-Brexit, it's possible that a lot of those financial institutions would leave. What would that make London look like? What changes would that affect?
I think we're too dumb for this kind of question, people.
It's an interesting one, though, isn't it?
But fortunately, we have on the phone from the London School of Economics.
We do, Professor.
No, of course, we don't.
Sipsonia. Professor Sipsonia, your thoughts?
What are you guys talking about? I zoned out big time.
You zoned out. Sips.
I'm just browsing the net. Sorry.
I've got a question for you. Right.
What?
Name the seven Channel Islands. Can you do it?
There's seven.
Fuck, do you live in them?
Well, I live on one of them. Fuck me. There's
name
seven.
Name five then.
Okay. Well, there's Jersey, of course.
Well done.
Guernsey.
Mm-hmm.
Alderney.
Correct.
Sark.
Yeah.
Those are the only ones I know.
There's three more that are smaller. There's Herm.
Oh, of course, Herm. I forgot about Herm. I always forget about Herm.
How could you?
Jethu.
Jethu.
Good old Jethu.
Yeah, good old Jethu, yeah.
And
Brehekyu.
Right, of course, Brehekyu, God, fuck, I always forget about Brehekyu. Yeah, no, I'm familiar with Herm. I just forgot about it. But I'll be honest, I'd never heard of Brehekyu or Jethu. Like, I didn't realize they were places. I've been to Sark before.
What's that
And
like?
There are no cars there at all. Like, when you get off the boat, the little, like, port or the dock is, like, kind of far away from, like, the little town, which has, like, five houses in it. One of them is, like, a tea room. And a tractor comes down to pick you up with, like, a trailer, and you sit on the trailer, and it takes you up the hill.
Right.
Or you can just walk it if you want. But, yeah, there's lots of, like, bike riding and stuff, and there's there's no tarmac. It's all dirt roads and stuff.
You know what that question reminds me of University Challenge. There's a season of it. It's just sort of recently started again. They've now made it interminably long for some reason. So University Challenge is every team has like eight chances to go through to the 17th round and all this kind of stuff. But
nice.
Have you noticed that one of the there are some consistent question sort of groups that they ask? Like if you wanted to bone up for University Challenge, you would study classical music, because obviously classical music, knowing about it means you're clever, right? That's the one thing we know about the people that make University Challenge. The Département of France, that's a major one. They're always banging on about the Département of France.
Yeah,
and European rivers. Well, France is divided up into different departments, which is basically like counties, right? So you've got to know all the different ones. And
like provinces or states, it's kind of like the same thing. Yeah. They have their own sort of...
It's kind of like advanced geography. You know, simple geography is learn the capitals.
Right.
That's the kind of questions you get on Pointless, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the capital of France?
Well, I'm pretty
Berlin.
Sure it's not Dijon.
Yeah.
And 90% sure it's not Marseille. I'm going to go with
nice.
Paris.
Nice!
It is Paris. It is Paris. Well done. Yes, well done. And now a question for our eggheads. What is the capital of England? I do like that
no,
show.
It's... Sometimes, but University Challenge, it's a different... I've not watched it in a year. I'm sure it still goes. But
oh, it's great.
Wow, the questions are were always so
insanely,
so hard.
Insanely hard. Insanely hard.
But they were always hard because they were a little bit pretentious. It was like, which opera did Tristan and Isolde play dual roles in the 1968 adaptation of the book of the same name?
Exactly.
And it's like...
Yeah, and they know it instantly.
What's the point of knowing some of this stuff, though?
I don't know. Well, that's my question.
They're just interested in the subject matter, but, like, does it... I don't know.
Forsyth?
Forsyth, Twickenham. Twickenham,
Bournemouth Technical school. College.
My question is this, right? These guys on this show, generally speaking, they're all young kids, right? They're all like 19, 18, 19, 20. How the fuck have they found time to A, study their subject? Like, some of them are mathematicians, physicists, you know, it's English and all the rest of it. And also know all the rivers of Europe, all the Department of France, the history of prime ministers going back, you know, to the you know, Pip the Younger and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And all the kings and queens and who they married and all this. How do they remember all that
shit? Man, when you're 18 and 19, like, if you're not going out and stuff, all you got is time. Like, you don't have any fucking responsibilities. You just, like, live at your parents' house.
In the world with Dota and World of Warcraft.
There's so much else to do.
Well, not everybody plays video games, though. Like, some of these guys probably just sit around and fucking read encyclopedias or whatever, I
bet you there aren't fucking questions, you know, which Overwatch character, you know, there's not that kind of stuff. Like, if the opposing team has picked Tidehunter, what character should you pick to counter him? It's like, Lovatz, Jersey Island.
I don't know, but I know all of the rivers in Zimbabwe. Can I answer that? Shit. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, fuck. So, no, Sark is like a classic no-car zone. I think it makes itself known as that, though, right? The island.
Well, it used to be. It used to be governed by the Barclay brothers, and then they had like a falling out. There was like a vote. I think people were done with them, and then they sort of like held like a local election to, you know, elect somebody else to be the, I don't even know what it is of Sark. Like, it's not the mayor or like the governor. It's just like whatever. It's like somebody who's like in charge of Sark, I guess. And they lost, so they were just like, all right, well, peace. We're pulling out all of our investments and everything from this place and fuck you all. And they left. Mm. I think they still have like a big house there, but they just like, they got really salty about it. So,
you know, that here's something for you. They haven't done Google Street View in Saudi Arabia.
What?
You can't do Google Street View. It's just not there.
What do you mean? Is it just a matter of time to go round? I mean, Saudi Arabia is quite a success. Isn't it like the biggest, most successful economy in the Middle East or something? It's
maybe they
big...
won't allow them. Maybe they're like, no, you'll know where all our post offices are.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think they allow women to drive, do they? Maybe all the Google car drivers are women.
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe they're like, yeah, sorry, no, you can't take any pictures. Only men are allowed to take pictures in this country and drive as well.
No robots. So. Robot could be a woman, could be a lady robot.
Yeah, exactly.
You never know.
I find it really weird that cars are banned, but tractors are okay. Do you
know
what I mean?
Well, you need like a tractor, though. Come on.
They need tractors to do their
No, but they just use them like cars. Like, fucking, if the tractor comes and picks you up, it might as well be a fucking bus.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little bit like one of these things where they're like, cars are allowed, but three-wheeled car, but Land Rovers, they're not cars. Trucks are also fine. Buses, fine. Cars are very specifically banned, though. It's like, what? Yeah.
Well, I think it makes sense because they're using the tractors to do agricultural stuff, and then on the rare occasion where a boat full of people does arrive, they just say, Jimmy, take the tractor down there and pick them up, and then get back to harvest in the corn or whatever it is that the tractor does, like, you know, 99% of the time sort of thing.
Here's the thing. If Sark obviously, it's a car-free zone. And all the people that live on Sark are cool with that. Who are we to tell them they're wrong? You know,
well,
maybe
it's a
not
very
having
small
cars
place.
Is nice. Right?
You wouldn't need a car. It's super small.
I feel like the Channel Islands are already a bit like of an isolated kind of holiday kind of idea.
For real, yeah, yeah.
But on the Channel Islands, you have even more isolated ones, right? So I think Herm probably, I mean, the name sounds like, it's a hermit, right? It sounds
no,
like
a
hermit.
It's really small, though. Like, really,
yeah,
really
exactly,
small.
Yeah, exactly. Like, with no one there, except maybe a hermit, you know.
Hey, is that where it comes from?
I don't know, maybe. Like, I don't know. I'll have to look it up. But man, like, it sounds like something that's. I think people want to. Tourists want an escape, an unspoiled paradise that they can, you know, escape to. And I think that, you know, if Sark want to kind of promote that and get their tourist stuff going, the whole no cars thing is like a little bit of a gimmick.
Yeah,
but I don't know. It's kind of instantly like shattered the kind of, like, you'd think it would be nice and peaceful, right? if I wanted to go on a nice peaceful holiday, the last thing I want is to be picked up by a fucking great big smoking tractor.
I mean, if you went to Sark for 2 weeks,
you know, I get this tranquil robo over there, and I'm I'm all relaxed. It's like, hey, friend, welcome to the fucking Sark. Get on the back of the tractor. We're going to go up and do some fucking donuts around the top of the island.
Yeah.
I think your vision of Sark is colored by your necessity to be chauffeur driven everywhere, apparently. A tractor?
Yeah.
I demand some kind of a stretch vehicle, preferably in a limo.
He won't go anywhere that isn't like an Uber service that he can just get picked up right where he is and taken to where he needs to be.
Yeah, like the other day, we were sat in the office and Deliveroo wasn't working. And I was like, how do we get food?
It's a travesty.
How do we get food to the office? And then I was like, then I realized you could just pretty much order takeaway from anywhere.
And they actually directly, incredibly, like the way that they've done it for
decades. It's weird, like how automatic you things become. But Uber, man, I do like Uber. I've got to admit, it's changed. There's a Bristol version of Uber, which I've been using, which is a bit
better.
They
won't have it in Bournemouth. I went back to Bournemouth at the weekend.
Well, they'll probably get their own one, Bournemouth Uber.
No, they won't have it. The cab company won't have it. They're like, nope. And the council obviously, you know, bowed to their demands and said, all right, we won't have Uber. So there's no Uber in Bournemouth.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time, though, before something comes along, because it's so efficient. It's good, in a sense, because it stops a lot of waste and waiting around.
Yeah, I guess it does. I mean, it's got its downsides. I know one of the problems that they have is that I asked an Uber driver this. When you want to, if you want to become an Uber driver, your car cannot be more than 3 years old. So you need to have a new car. Most people can't afford that. I mean, I'm not being funny, but if you're working as an Uber driver, you probably haven't got the money to buy a brand new car, right?
No.
So they get the car through Uber.
They don't get paid very much.
Right. But they get the car through Uber. So you get the car financed through Uber, and then basically you're tied to them because obviously you have to make these car loans. So a lot of them, I'm not saying it's like indentured slavery, because you opt in, you know what you're getting into. But then I think they subsequently realize just how many Uber drivers there are out there. I mean, if I got an Uber right now, there'd be one here in 4 minutes.
Yeah.
This isn't an area where you'd expect there to be a ton of people waiting for an Uber, but they're fucking everywhere. They're absolutely everywhere.
How does it work in big places like London? Because like I watched a show one time and they were saying that to be a cab driver in London, to like pass the exam or whatever, is like one of the hardest things to do because the roads are so
the knowledge.
Fucking,
they call it the knowledge. Like it's not just knowing the roads. You need to know the optimal route from A to B.
And you need to also be aware of like roadworks and diversions and all that kind of shit. Like, I mean, you'd need to know that anywhere, but in London especially, it's such a big sort of bowl of spaghetti. The roads are just all over the place, aren't they?
It's so crazy. Like, it's very tough. But I mean, for an Uber driver, you just have your sat nav.
Oh, right.
Although it went wrong. We got an Uber back a couple of months ago from central London, and the guy was taking us. It was a route, like, you know, I've driven that area a lot, so I know London pretty well for driving. And this guy's driving. I'm like, well, this isn't the route I would have taken, but it's okay. It's late at night. I'm guessing, you know, it'll be quiet either way. And I start to notice, I'm like, this is not the right way. Like, I'm pretty sure this isn't the right way. And then we're coming up to a junction. I'm like, all right, if he goes right here, this is actually fine. If he goes left, he's gone well wrong. And he went left. And he just dropped it, just pulled down this really quiet road. And he was like, here you go. We're like, this is not our address. Like, we gave you the address. And he looked at his sat nav and just sort of smiled at us, embarrassed, and just drove off again. So I don't know what the fuck had happened, but he put in completely the wrong address and has taken us down this super dark road. I was expecting to turn around with a pistol at any minute and say, give me your jewelry, but
give up the goods.
I was like, Jesus. Yeah, he just fucking took us completely the wrong way. It was bizarre. So even with the sat nav, they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess, like, oh God. Yeah, we went to London recently and I wanted to like take an Uber at one point because it would have just been easier. But then you can so easily flag down a cab in London because they're everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
We just got in one, and then, you know, we just did that. So I don't know. Maybe I was doing my bit for London cabbies.
The chance of a conversation in a black cab these days, it used to be all about politics and football. Now, number one thing they'll do is complain about Uber drivers.
Yeah, well, like, actually, we had a couple.
Go, thanks for taking a black cab, mate. Really appreciate these fucking Uber drivers. Ruining it for everyone. I tell you what, you think you want to use Uber? Let me tell you, got some horror stories about it, mate. And they start telling you all about how dreadful Uber are. And
oh, man, we avoided all conversation because every time we got into a black cab, my daughter would just have a fucking meltdown and scream the whole way. So we didn't have to talk to them at all. And like all the drivers seemed like kind of okay with it, but not really at the same time. Like you could tell it was like really like, like if we had to go like one minute further than where we were going, like that would have been it. He would have just dropped us off where we were and told us to fuck
Get
off. Sort
out.
Of thing.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
Oh crap. I'm reading about, for some reason, what happens is, you know, when you're on Wikipedia, you click on stuff, and I'm now reading about Operation Huckerback, which happened during the Second World War.
Ooh, invasion of Jersey?
Where basically, Channel Islands got invaded by the Germans, right, and captured, as Sips knows, right? And
I was there when it happened.
Yeah.
Dark times.
And so the idea was to, like, assess the situation, right, by sending in some commandos to, like, the small island and, like, chatting to people.
Right.
And so that bad weather obviously put off like them doing it, but eventually 10 guys landed on Herm and tried to find anyone left on the island, but they basically explored the whole island. There was no one there. It says the caretaker of Belvoir House was aware of people on the island, but had locked the door. So the one guy was like,
yeah, they got like a custodian like on Herm, don't they? There's one person lives there that looks after it. And he's probably a hermit.
Yeah.
Do you remember there was that job advertised a few years ago that they advertised as the dream job? And it was to be the sort of, not the manager, but the overseer, like the park ranger for this island. I think it was in New Zealand. It might have been Australia. And it's just like a stunning natural wonderland, just beautiful. And you had to apply for the job. You had to, you know, give your credibility for, you know, you were going to look after it. You were a real outdoorsy type. You were understood nature and you were an environmentalist and all the rest of it. And some British guy, I believe, won the sort of the job and got to spend like a couple of years living in paradise, essentially, just minding this island. The lad on Herm didn't get that, did he?
No. No, I think it was like,
here's the key. Just keep the commandos off the coast and don't answer the door if anyone
knocks.
Well,
I think probably up until maybe like 20 years ago or whatever, I think it was like a religious thing. Like, because it's all like, it's all parishes and stuff over here, right? So I think the guy on Herm was probably a priest and it was probably like a thing that they sent you there for 10 years so that you could like get closer to God and meditate more and stuff or whatever. But now it's probably just like some dude. Yeah, here you go, Ronnie. We'll give you an iPad and satellite Wi-Fi thing, and you just fucking go over there and do whatever you want for 10 years. Just look after the place, you know. Just do. I don't even think you can garden there or anything. It's just rocks. It's just like a mound of rocks.
What a great place.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd want to do that actually. I feel like, I mean, I don't really like people that much, but like at the same time, I don't want to be that isolated. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for real.
Mm. I don't know. Like some people like that.
Yeah.
It's nice to be detached from, you know, stuff. It's like when you leave your phone somewhere for like half an hour and you're like, oh my God, I feel free.
I wonder if they just have like a lot of solar panels, like for electricity and stuff. Like, or they must have like a generator or something.
Yeah,
maybe like a gas like generator or something. Because how the fuck would you get like all the shit over there? And how does plumbing work there as well? I guess they don't have any. They probably
septic
just have
tanks
an outhouse and septic tank and shit like that. No thanks.
No thanks.
No thank you.
I don't know. It's nice. It's there's probably a solution to it all, but I don't know. Like I feel some. I don't know that isolation thing, isn't it? Do you ever like get away and just have like a day of being unplugged from technology and stuff? Is that something
I,
you
I am
seldom
terrified of the idea of being unplugged from technology?
Yeah, I like. Yeah. I really like being on the internet and stuff and doing things like on
like
the net.
Idea of being unplugged. I know some people. I think you know what I think. If you have one of those sort of high powered jobs where, like, I mean, I'm not saying Mrs. F has a high powered job, but she has a job where she gets contacted all the time. So if we're out, her phone will be buzzing and she'll be checking messages because, like, the work that they're doing is 24 hours because if they're not doing it, someone in another office in another country is doing it and they might have a question and blah, blah, blah. And that's not at, like, a senior manager level. So if you're a senior manager and people are messaging you like, sir, did you want us to divest your portfolio in the platinum company? Yes. You know, stuff like that. You've got to answer that question 24 hours a day. You're running a huge business. I could understand why you'd want to be unplugged. That doesn't sound like fun. Like, I don't want to be unplugged because I want to play Dota. That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
No, of course, your pacemaker as well.
And
you
want to
be like, you want to be, I understand like wanting to get away from like work emails and stuff like that, obviously. Like, you know, that would be good. But like, our jobs are not things that we need to get away from because our jobs are so interlinked into our hobbies. Like, it's not.
And it's literally, it's escapism. I just play games. I mean, it's like, it's a great fucking job. I love it. So, like, what I want to get away from is my kids, honestly.
Yeah.
Having to look after my kids. Like, I absolutely adore them, obviously.
Yeah, but they're getting older now. They're going to be able to look after themselves.
They're pretty good. Like, they come home from school, they've already got an idea of what they want to do. They're not like, what do we do? You know, the way kids are kind of lost when they're given time. Now they're like, oh, sweet, I can finally do so-and-so. I'm like, all right, go for it.
It's funny when kids get to the point where they know what they want to do, but they have no idea of timings. Like, they don't understand, like, when an adult is ready to do something or, like, what an adult has in mind sort of thing. So, like, yesterday I was putting my son to bed and he's got the day off today because there's like an annual air show here today, this afternoon.
Is that when they fly the single plane around the island?
Well, I landed yesterday. I got back from Bristol and at the airport they had like, it wasn't the Red Arrows because apparently the Red Arrows are like on a world tour or something. So we got like Romania's answer to the Red Arrows. They're like, they were all parked up. There was like an F-16 up there and they a couple of years ago, they had like a Harrier come over and like they have all sorts of like, they're pretty cool. And then they have some sort of like vintage planes, like they had
Harrier
like
jump jets, man.
Yeah, Harrier jump cool jets, planes. Really fucking cool. Yeah,
they're really cool.
So they'll have like Spitfires and they have like those, like those old like World War II bombers and stuff. So those are all like parked up and stuff. And it was pretty cool. And I got home and I was putting my son to bed and I was like, oh, well, you know, you don't have school tomorrow because of the air show. We're going to go like in the afternoon to see it and stuff. And he's like, oh yeah, I'm really excited. I can't wait to see the planes and stuff. And he's like, can we play Minecraft tomorrow? He's like, sure. I mean, like maybe after we watch the air show, we could play Minecraft for a bit or something if you want to. Like, that'd be pretty fun. He's like, okay, great. All right. Well, good night. And I was like, yeah, okay, good night. So I wake up this morning, I go downstairs and he's just looking at me. I was like, oh, hey, you know, good morning. How you doing? He's like, can we play Minecraft now? What? Like, fuck, I'm just fucking woken up. I'm not fucking ready to play. I'm not fucking ready to do anything. I don't even want to talk to you. Like, I need coffee. Like, fucking Minecraft. Get out of here. And it's just like,
so he's like,
okay, you go have coffee and then we'll play some Minecraft. What? No, I'm not fucking playing Minecraft after coffee either. Like, later. We'll play it later
on. He's 5, is he?
Yeah, oh, my God. So it's just like the timing is all off. Like, they don't get it. They're ready to go.
They're ready. You must be ready.
Oh, man. Yeah. And, like, and occasionally, like, it's literally 2 minutes before we're putting him to bed, okay?
Right.
Like, he's got his pajamas on. He's had his teeth brushed. Everything. And, like, it's the same routine every night, right? Like, we put his pajamas on. He brushes his teeth. We say goodnight to, like, you know, mummy and to his sister and stuff. And then we go upstairs and we read books and then he goes to bed, right? So he's got his pajamas on.
He's 25 years old.
He's brushed his teeth and everything. And then he's like, can we play Minecraft for a bit? No! Oh, no, we're not playing Minecraft now. Literally 2 minutes, you're going to bed. Like, why would we play Minecraft now? It's just... the timing is all wrong, but like
that's
it's
so funny.
It's nice at the same time that they're so excited like about stuff. Yeah. Like, I remember being a kid and being so fucking excited to play Nintendo games like whenever I could and stuff.
It's amazing.
It's amazing, but like being the parent and being like sort of the denier of fun is like not always the best as well.
Hey, like, here's something. Do you remember what it was like to have wobbly teeth?
Yeah,
like when your teeth are getting wiggly, wobbly teeth, and they're gonna fall out.
Yeah.
So my 5-year-old, she just lost her first teeth, right? She lost two teeth in 2 days.
Shit.
So she lost one yesterday and then she lost one today. I mean, I was like, Jesus, she got leprosy or something? But it's, you know, I can see the other ones coming through, so it's all fine. So the first one, she was brushing her teeth and it just sort of fell out. And she was like, my tooth fell out! And I'm like, geez, if that happened to me now, I'd be like, my tooth fell out! Like, I'd be horrified. But so she's super excited. She's got the tooth. She puts it under the pillow. Mrs. F sneaks in and leaves £2 for her, right? The Tooth Fairy sneaks in and leaves £2 for her.
Good.
So the very next day, she's at school. She takes a bite of an apple. She swallows a chunk of apple. And then she realizes there's blood on the apple. And she's like, oh, shit. And she feels in her mouth missing a tooth. And she swallowed the tooth. And she was very concerned. And she was like, how is the Tooth Fairy going to know that I lost my tooth? I was like, don't worry, she knows. Like,
she's
the Tooth Fairy
sip
knows.
Through your
yeah,
feces.
Don't you worry about it. She goes through your shit with a fine tooth comb. So
oh
she says,
God.
I'll write her a note to let her know. I was like, okay, cool. So she writes this adorable little note. I lost my tooth, T-O-O-F.
Tooth, yeah.
But at the end, but she had God. Another follow-up question, which I liked. Where do you get the money? That's what she's asking the Tooth Fairy. What's funding this tooth fairiness? Yeah. You know, where's this coming okay. from? I love that. So she literally asked
how
it,
does this industry work?
Where do you get the money? Yeah, what's up with that? Well, you just find it? You just have money? Come on.
Man.
So yeah, she needed to know that. I thought
yeah,
that
my,
was awesome.
My kids have not lost teeth yet. Well, like my youngest is way too small, but no, my
yeah,
my
yeah.
eldest
five,
has not
five
lost
is,
any
you're getting
teeth
towards
yet.
That point. Yeah,
I'll tell you what that. He did do though. He joined football club, okay? Like, so some context here. I'm not a sporty person.
Okay.
Neither is my wife. Neither are any of her family, and neither are any of mine, okay? There's no history of being sporty in
right.
my entire family or hers,
yeah.
okay?
The Lovett's family pride themselves
on being
never
very
doing
anti-
any
sport.
Exercise.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah, even remember what your grandmother said. Just imagine
okay.
Wayne Gretzky taking a shit, right? So she even hates people that play sports.
She hates sports. Like, she really, God bless her soul and rest in peace. She hated sports, like, with a passion. So we've never had football on the TV in our house, ever. I don't watch it. I don't even know fucking how it works half the time. Like, I don't know, understand the leagues, nothing, okay? So he goes to football club, and at first he's, like, a bit shy, you know? It's just like, we turn up, and there's all these tryhards wearing, like, fucking their football kit, and they got, like, cleats and shit. And he's just, like, in his school uniform because, like, we didn't know what to do. Like, we didn't know. It's, you know, it's for five-year-olds. It's like a soccer school.
Right.
So we were just like, well, fuck, he just runs around all day in his school uniform. So I'm sure he can play football for an hour in his school uniform as well. Like, it doesn't matter. So we turn up and, like, this one kid's got, like, a Ronaldo shirt on.
Yeah,
and
cool.
some other kid's got, like, a fucking, I don't even know.
One of them's got, like, a diamond earring.
Yeah. And they got, like, fucking, like, you know, like, these, like, really, like crazy hairdos and stuff like that. My son just, like, turns up in a school uniform and he's, like, he's a bit apprehensive at first. And he's, like, sitting, because my wife took him because I was away for, like, his first one.
Right.
So my wife took him and he's, like, he wasn't sure what to do. And then he just sort of turns around. He's, like, should I just go on and, like, kick the ball? My wife's, like, yeah, go for it. So he just fucking runs on there and just starts, like, kicking the ball. And all these, like, try-hard nerds are, like, you know, trying to, like, practice their moves and stuff. And he's just, like, going nuts, like, flailing his arms everywhere, kicking the ball around and stuff like that. And apparently he really liked it. And then, like, the teacher was like, okay, who's your favorite team? And, like, all the other kids were like, oh, I like, you know, Manchester United and stuff. And he was trying to, like, say, explain, like, the colors of the lines on the floor and, like, relating them back to teams and stuff. My son was just fucking ignoring him, just, like, flailing around, kicking the ball, yelling and having
team
a fun
Minecraft.
Time.
Minecraft! Yeah, Minecraft yeah. team!
And it was, like, really nice to hear that, like, you know, he was just having fun and he didn't give a shit about all that other stuff, you know? Like, all those kids, like, their dads probably took them to play football in a field when they were, like, 2 years old and they didn't even know what they were doing and stuff. And, like, I don't know, it's just nice. It's like the innocence
of children.
Isn't it
weird how they already have this massive head start even though he's five in terms of football? It just shows that how early you have to get your kids involved in stuff in order
to push him
to
it at all.
Of the pack.
Like, we would never have pushed him towards that. You know what I mean? Like,
no.
He just came home one day and he's like, can I join football club? And we're like, I guess so. Like, if that's what you want to do. He's like, yeah, I really want to. All right. And then now he's in it. And he's, like, really looking forward to the next one as well. So it's like, okay. So part of me is, like, really proud of him. But part of me is, like, miserable at the fact that I'm going to be that guy who's sitting on a fucking the bleachers, like, in the pouring rain, watching my son play football and stuff.
I think,
like,
a similar thing happened to me. You know, when I was a kid, I remember my dad taking me down every Saturday morning to football, and he wasn't really into football particularly and didn't really give a crap. But obviously, I wanted to hang out with my friends, and so, you know, I went down every weekend to various places and kicked the ball around, and I don't think anything, you know, I'm not David Beckham now, am I? And, yeah, I'm sure you played football as well as a kid, P-Flex, right?
No, I played baseball.
Yeah. Baseball.
Because I was living in the States, so I was in Little League.
Did you play T-ball first?
No, we just went straight for
T-ball.
Baseball.
T T-ball.
So it was literally the coach for our team was the father of one of our friends. Like all the kids in the class, you know, all the boys, we were all sort of friends. And his dad was, my friend Matthew was his dad was the coach. Every year we'd have to go for tryouts. So all the kids that want to play Little League go down and you all line up, like you've all registered, so you're going to get on a team. But the coaches then all sort of sit around and you have to go up and you have to hit the ball a few times, you have to throw a ball a few times, and you have to run the bases and do a bit of fielding. And they'll say, yeah, I want this kid. And then they'll do deals like, all right, well, if you have that kid, I'll swap him for this other kid. And, you know, this like proper trading thing. We were all garbage. Like we were the worst. I'm sure I've spoken about this before. We were the worst.
And this guy would
be, the moment we stepped foot on the pitch, he'd be like, this is one of my kids. I'm taking this kid. And everyone would be like, we don't want this kid because we're like swinging away and missing. We could barely throw the ball.
Man,
we fucking loved it. Like it was the most fun.
You do. Have you
I'll
ever?
Give you Billy and Jimmy for that Chuck over there. How much you want for that Joseph? How do you want? How much?
It was exactly like that. Yeah, it was like it's real like trading. Weird. Trading.
Have you ever watched kids play basketball before?
No.
Holy fuck, it's infuriating. Like, I understand how people feel when they watch me play video games now. Because, like, I watched some kids play basketball, and it was like, man, I wanted to punch them all in the face. Like, I was so angry. Like, it's just a difficult sport for kids to play, I think. Like, I don't know quite why, but it was just really something else. But
because they're small?
I don't know. It was just crazy. Like they just could not like throw the ball hard enough to get it in the net in the first place.
Right.
Trying to dribble was just like
lower,
the worst.
Surely they have the
even when it's lower though, I guess the ball's like too heavy or something. I don't know. Maybe. Like these kids were like missing
you
the mark.
Suck, is that
big
what you were
time.
Shouting
that? I
Coach,
wanted to
sub
so
this
many
kid
times.
Sucks.
Listen, I had a traumatic sporting experience when I was younger, and it put me off sports for life, actually.
Oh, what was it?
It was a lot of pressure, okay? Similar to you, I was in Little League baseball, and we sucked really bad. Well, we were so young, though. Like, we were really, really young. I was, like, an outfielder, okay? And then, you know, like, when the other team is batting, you play in the field, and then this is the way baseball works, if you don't know. And then it's when it's your team's turn to bat, everybody comes up and takes a turn, right? Three strikes, you're out. You know, most people can like hit the ball or whatever. It's like Little League. So like, you know, it's not like impossible to hit the ball, but sometimes it's tricky. So it was my turn to bat, okay? It was like right at the end of the game. We had two outs, okay? And I needed to hit the ball and at least get on base, or if not, like just crank it and get a home run, and we would have won the game, okay? So a lot of pressure.
I have no idea of any
I was like really
said,
aware
so.
Of the pressure that was put onto me. I was young at the time, but I knew that like it was up to me to win the game, right? So I get up to the plate. I'm nervous as shit, and there's a lot of pressure, okay? And I'm young, really young. And
we
the
get
guy,
it. You're young.
The guy pitches. And I missed, so it was a strike. And I'm getting frustrated because of all this pressure. And, of course, I'm young as well.
Yeah.
Pitches again, another strike. And at this point, I'm like, all right. You
the
know,
0-2 count, the worst
it's got,
count.
It's gotta be this time, okay? So, like, I put my all into it. I'm, like, concentrating. I'm nervous, okay? Sweating. I, like, barfed a little bit in my mouth. I'm young as hell.
Yeah.
Pitches. Strike three, I was out. Fuck, I was so devastated. I cried. I was like actually crying. I was so fucking like upset about it. Let the
you
whole
did,
team
you had
down.
Paul Gascoigne
didn't
all
win.
Over that.
Yeah, and then that was the last time I played sports when I was a kid. I never played sports ever again.
That's terrible. You know what? That's bad coaching.
Instead, I just smoked cigarettes all throughout my childhood and all into my.
That really
20s.
Messed you up by the sounds.
I can imagine him smoking cigarettes a couple years down the line. Hey, Chris, didn't you used to play baseball? Yeah, man, it's all politics. Just politics. That's why I never made it.
Fucking
politics.
Sounds like you were really stressed out by that. What you should have done was go on a nice, tranquil holiday to somewhere like,
I could've.
Like hemp, whatever it's called.
Herm.
Sark. Heck.
Herm. Hemp. Herm.
Yeah,
go to hemp.
Herm. Jethu.
Oh, he
I could have gone
to right.
Jethu instead, actually. It would have been better.
Go, and just, you know, unplug, you know, de-stress,
he was
relax.
Probably like 8 years old. He doesn't need to
I was
unplug.
Like 8 years old,
I know,
yeah.
But I can imagine him like really stressed out though and like smoking behind
son,
the bike
sorry
shed.
To hear about that. You know, maybe next time. Is there anything we can do to cheer you up? you know what, Minecraft? Dad? Can we go to Jethu just for like 2 weeks? Can you just get me a ticket? I'll go by myself. I'm 8 years old. I just need some time.
That honestly, that is just bad coaching. The coach should have been able to take you aside and explain. Yeah. Look, don't worry.
Do you remember the term "good eye"? Was that a term that was used in baseball with you guys?
I don't remember.
Good eye, Ted. Good eye. Like if you hit the
ball.
Does
it mean when you leave one? Like it's not going to be a strike. You leave it for a ball, and you should have let it go.
No, good eye was like if you could hit the ball, but like it could also be used to like if you caught the ball, which was not something that happened very often in Little League. You know,
I remember it jumped up. I was fielding a ground ball. It got past the first baseman, and it bounced off a rock and hit me flush in the nose. Shit. I remember that really, really well, and all the blood, and my mum rushing onto the field, and them have to say, "You can't just rush on," and all the rest of it. And
yeah,
I remember that really.
Lewis,
well.
Have you ever heard of T-ball?
What the fuck is
okay,
that?
T-ball is the precursor for
like a shit rapper.
Softball or T-ball. Like Little League baseball. Okay, so you know, like you know, when you golf and you get like a little tee and you put the ball on it.
Mm-hmm.
T-ball is baseball. But instead of somebody throwing the ball, like pitching the ball to you for you to hit it, there's just like this gigantic rubber tee that you put on like the home plate and you rest the ball on the tee and you hit it. It's like, it's for when you're super small, like 4 or 5 years old sort of thing.
That sounds kind of cool.
Yeah,
it's really fucking cool actually. But like, it's hilarious because even though it's all there ready for you to like slam it really hard, kids' hand-eye coordination is not great, right? So more often than not, people would just like hit the tee and it was like rubber and it would just like flop around everywhere and the ball would just like depressingly fall off. Oh, man.
Well,
fucking T-ball.
I don't know. It's funny that, isn't it? That's. I guess I want my games to be more mentally stimulating, I guess. I mean, there is some of that in – there's some strategy in – football or team sports, definitely, but it's less strategy and more you need to sort of fill your role. You need to be more of a cog in the machine.
You're saying that you're too clever for sport. That's what you're saying. You're too clever.
I think I found it very boring.
I always think I was too clever to play sport.
Not quite Michael Jordan either. I'm somewhere firmly in between. I like chess,
but it's like going to the gym, right?
Also
like
golf.
I found that very, very boring. Like jogging or cycling. Like unless I was, I guess I've been conditioned to unless I'm listening to an audio book or doing something. I just get so fucking bored.
Yeah, I get
with
bored
it.
Real easy.
So,
really.
And it was the same when I remember running around the football pitch. I was just sat there fucking bored, waiting for something to happen, like waiting for my turn to kick the ball. And, you know, that would happen occasionally, but only for a few seconds every 5 minutes.
I think if you're going to exercise, though, I think exercising outside is better.
Yeah.
Like every time I've been to a gym, I find the equipment is not great. Like it's... I don't know. Like it's just such a weird thing, isn't it? Running on a treadmill or like going on an exercise bike.
Well,
like it doesn't feel like. I don't know. You don't feel like the same as like if you go on a pedal bike and bike outside for an hour. You know, like you feel
like you're doing something out. You feel like you're sort of making something of.
But I think the fresh air helps too. You know, it's just such a strange thing. Like I need to exercise more. Like I don't exercise at all right now.
Same. I was doing couch to 5K and then I had to stop and then I sort of haven't taken it back up again. And I find myself making excuses like.
I live really close to a bike track, though, so I'm going to buy a bike and, like, try to bike, like, every day, just, like, you know, the length of the island or something.
Well, here's the thing. I think that doing exercise, the thing I've noticed definitely is that you feel better, you feel happier, you feel like good to do. But, yeah, I recommend getting some audiobooks that are good and just giving it a go because – and so the rule I had was that I only could listen to, like, this audiobook when I was – cycling.
Oh, that's good.
Right? So
that's pretty good.
That way, like, I was like, oh, I really want to read the next chapter of this, but I have to go cycling to do it. And that was a really good motivation.
That's a good motivator.
Yeah, in summer, that was really good. I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, how much?
So I have like a half an hour walk back and forth to work at the moment, and I'm going through some like trying to learn basic Japanese stuff, so I'm not completely inept when I'm in Japan.
No, that's a good idea.
I've so far learned like
konnichiwa.
Literally hello and yeah. And,
I think they say that you have to do a like 30 minutes of like fairly vigorous exercise 3 times a week, and then in between that, just have like your half hour walk, like into the office or whatever. Like you pad out the rest of your week with that. But like, I don't know what to do like vigorous exercise wise, so that's why I think.
Oh,
like,
I can think of something.
I'll get like a bike Wanking. Or like your mom
me,
or something.
Me and Ted Cruz finally have something in common. I mean, the thing is, I've noticed if you ever look at internet porn, it says like share this on Facebook, and I'm always thinking one day I'm gonna click that by mistake. And obviously, Ted Cruz was looking at some porn and accidentally clicked on tweet that you liked this smutty video, or he retweeted some porn. And I thought it was pretty funny. I thought if he'd just come out and said, hey, everybody does it, but he's been very much against it, apparently. Like, he's very hypocritically said, don't touch your pee-pee.
Don't ever touch your pee-pee.
Or anyone else's, for that
matter. That's basically his angle. Don't touch. Well, the pee-pee is untouched.
Yeah. If you need to have a pee-pee, you need to use a pair of salad tongs.
I mean, the thing is, like, nowadays, most people do touch their pee-pees, right? Like, it's fairly well known that, like, people...
Well, this is why I don't shake hands with anyone.
Do it, yeah. So,
fist bumps all the way.
Fist bumps, yeah, I guess.
I just dick bump.
Nice.
Same bacteria, just bump it out. Boom.
That's a good idea.
You know, a long time ago, when I was a confused young man, I must have been about 12 or 13 years of age, I got into religion a little bit, okay? Because right. I was looking for something. You know, my parents were divorced. I was kind of lost and everything. And they're predatory, those religious types. You know, they'll pounce on you. They sense weakness. They're like sharks. They'll circle around you. They pounced and they converted me to their religion. And I was sort of trying to get into it. I was struggling with a lot of it. They didn't believe in dinosaurs. Was a big one for me because I love dinosaurs. And then we were at this Christian camp I used to go to called Harvest Festival or Spring Festival, one of the two. I think it was Harvest.
I love how that's the breaking point
I was
for
like,
you. As
dinosaurs
well. Like,
weren't real. Excuse me.
You don't have dinosaurs in your religion.
I'm out.
Sounds kind of shitty.
Right. So that was bad. It wasn't enough to break me, but I was questioning it in a major way. They were all anti-evolution, all that kind of stuff, and I was like, really? You think fossils are? They think like the guys that we were talking to. They were like, oh no, God put them there to test us. I was like, that's a pretty stupid test. Like, why not just tell us?
I like how you're doing like a young interview. Like, can you play Minecraft in your religion?
Okay.
Is the tooth fairy real? Okay. Well, good. I mean, this is ticking all my boxes.
All right, you got tooth fairy. You got tooth fairy. Yeah.
Dude, seriously, people seriously not believe in dinosaurs? Is this a
dude,
thing?
Seriously. Yeah. Of course.
Fuck.
So anyway,
they believe that God like put the fossils there.
Some of them do. But
fuck's
anyway.
Sake.
Anyway,
what fucking hope is there for the human
race? Here's where it got really weird.
All
right, we're at this camp. And this guy, like this counselor guy, this real, real Christian guy, takes a bunch of us sort of slightly older kids over to one side. He's like, right, it's time for us to have a private chat.
Right.
And we talk about something. Some of you may have been exploring the bodies that God gave you. And obviously that's, you know, that's fine and everything. But what you mustn't do is pleasure yourself. It's sinful. And I was like, hold on a sec. I was like, hands straight up. I was like, you're talking about masturbation. You're telling us we can't do that? I was like, that's ridiculous. I'm out. Like, that was me done with religion right there. I was like, this is the... If God invented
you just
this
raise
stuff,
your arms in the air and you just turn around and you're like...
I was like, I'm out.
Listen, I could take the dinosaurs. I'm okay with Father Christmas not being real, but you're trying to tell me that I can't stop my pickle.
I was like, you ain't taking this
up
away.
To here with you.
So I was out.
Jesus could go fuck himself.
Oh, my God. I don't blame you, man. Like, I think it's pretty natural to just, like...
I mean, it's the best fucking invention of all time.
Jerky and gherkin, yeah.
It's free. You don't need anyone there. And it's great fun. Like, how are you telling me that's sinful? Give me a fucking break. What next? Nintendo's evil, huh? No more Nintendo? Sex is evil? Hard drugs are illegal?
That Come said, on. Like, you know, God, everything in moderation. And I think that too much of these... Too
he
much,
never says
well,
that.
Well, I've told you
the
about
The Ten
before,
Commandments,
but,
one of the Ten Commandments isn't everything in moderation.
Yeah.
The Ten Commandments is, you ain't gonna do so-and-so. And I'm pretty sure if he had time, one of the commandments would have been, no jerking it. Don't do that.
Yeah.
And they would never assault. That's why they cut it down to 12 or 10 or whatever the commandments is. If they'd gone with 15 commandments and one of them been, you're not allowed to touch your pee-pee anymore and don't shake hands with other people, people would have been like, I'm out.
For unrelated religious reasons, not non-religious reasons, though, I've not been, I've been, well, I haven't been like fully no-fap, but pretty much like for the last like year. And it's
yeah, but
been,
you probably
like,
read an article
good.
About how it's bad for you. I read
yeah.
that
yeah,
article on Vice. There was one on Vice saying if you want to be more productive, stop doing that. I was like, I don't want to be more productive. So
no,
boom.
I'm quite happy just like fluffing myself all the time, actually. So
right. Okay. Yeah, it's a tricky subject to talk about, isn't it? But
no.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
only for people
note,
who are
yes.
abstaining and thinking, shit, maybe I'm missing out. That's what you're thinking now. You're
so
thinking,
what,
shit.
So what are your reasons for abstaining then, Lewis? You want to be more productive? Is that it?
No, I just like saving it up for
a rainy day.
Just...
Oh, wait, I know what it is. You think it's so
it
valuable. You're like, I can't waste this seed. This is the seed of Lewis Brindley. It's worth too much. You may as well spill a load of diamonds
down
the drain.
The thing is, it needs to be released, though. Like you can't store it up. Yeah, God.
If it doesn't get used, it doesn't get put in a special storage compartment in your balls.
It poisons you in the end. Like, you know those guys that turn up to work with an Uzi and mow everyone down? It's because they stored up too much seed. Like, I think if they didn't do that.
The sperm were running the show. If you looked in their brain, it's just sperm swimming around.
I don't know anyone who doesn't occasionally, you know, give it the old...
Go on.
The old...
Yep.
the old, yeah, I don't know. I think everyone is, you know, all these religious people, they're doing it all the time. Everyone is. They can't fucking help themselves. Like, you know, women are doing it all the time.
Well, it's a natural thing. It's a drive. It's a natural drive, isn't it? You have to, like, somehow get the release, right? So, like, you know, they're telling you that they don't do it, but they're definitely doing it.
Of course they're fucking doing it.
They have to be doing it.
But I don't think it is like, well, I think we've got a change though, like in terms of like from porn. Like a lot of people, it used to be the problem was that people couldn't get it up or whatever. That was the big thing before, right?
Like as a stimulant kind of thing.
Well, I don't know. Like I guess I don't know. We're going down a weird path, and I will stop.
This is how we end every
path.
Podcast, by the way.
I know.
This conversation.
We talk about wanking.
It's so, it oh, is.
We
always comes back around
we
to
always,
this.
It's like our Hitler. We don't talk about, you know, we don't come back to Hitler.
I just,
come
all
back
I,
to,
look, all I'm doing is I'm thinking of a topic that's relatable to the greatest number of people out there listening to the Trifles podcast, and I just want them to know you're not alone.
No, you're not.
I mean,
you certainly
is
are
it
not.
Is it your way of de-stressing? Is that the thing? You don't want to go to Herm. You want to just, you know, rub one out.
That's what I refer to it as, going to Herm. I'm going to take a trip to Herm. See you guys in a bit.
I'm going to, where cars
heading
are not allowed.
Heading to Jethu, back in a while, whatever it's called.
Yeah, yeah. Jethu, I think it is.
Yeah. Oh, my God. There you go. Well, that's the end of the podcast. That, yeah. Was a podcast.
It was.
That was an podcast. Congrats.
It really was one, yeah.
Indeed.
Another one in the bag for Team Triforce. God damn.
Yeah.
See you next
I
time.
Hope you enjoyed it. Thanks, everyone.
Motherfuckers. Bye.
Thanks for listening.
Peace.
Goodbye.